Hi, you're listening to LGBTQ and A. I'm Jeffrey Masters, and in honor of National Coming Out Day, I wanted to bring you this clip from the interview we did with Cleve Jones, where he talks about why coming out is so important. The full interview is in our feed, but if you don't know, Cleve Jones is a legendary activist who was mentored by Harvey Milk and has been fighting for LGBTQ people for almost 50 years. That's part of the reason why I've been thinking about what he said so much lately, because it still rings as true as ever. Coming out is a privilege that not everyone has for very real safety reasons, but for those of us who can, Cleve does a really great job of detailing the power and impact that that has. And as always, if you would like to leave a comment on iTunes, leaving a comment and ranking us 5 stars on iTunes is one of the biggest ways you can help our show to grow. And if every week you think, oh my God, I haven't left a comment yet, I'm a horrible person, you are right, you are. But there's still time to change that. So leave a comment on iTunes and listen to this episode. Okay, here's Cleve Jones.
A big part of the movement then was this whole issue of coming out. And I'm frustrated when I hear young people tell me that they don't feel the need to label themselves or come out. And I get part of it. You know, you don't want to be labeled. You don't want to be restricted or confined in any way. Okay, I get that part of it. But it still sounds like a closet to me. And the reason is that it's so important is because once the haters know that they have queer and trans people in their families, in their workplace, in their neighborhood, on their block, in their congregation, in their school. Once they know us, it becomes very difficult for them to continue to hate us and more difficult for them to vote against us or harm us. So coming out has always been an essential part of this movement. And that was something that was articulated very powerfully by Harvey Milk during his campaigns in San Francisco.
But you came out like 17, 18, you said?
Yeah, I was 17.
So you knew how important it was even then? Because that's so many years before you met Harvey.
No, I joined the Gay Liberation Front, and that was the rallying cry, we have to come out, we have to come out. And it seems so simplistic in some ways, but it's really a very powerful notion, and it's a big part of why we have come as far as we have within my lifetime. It's because ordinary people, not famous people, not Hollywood people, not political people, but ordinary queers made that bold decision to say, Mom, Dad, this is who I am, to reveal their true identity, not only to family, but to clergy, to employers, to the military. Yeah, it was real bravery.
Wow. When you got to San Francisco, there and then for the rest of your life, just the communities that you've been a part of and like seeking out community of like-minded people, whether you created them or found them, was such a recurring theme. Where is that community now that SF has changed?
Well, that's a very good question. It's something that I think about a lot right now, because the reality is that the gayborhoods are going away. So if you look at San Francisco's Castro District or Seattle's Capitol Hill or Washington, D.C.'s DuPont Circle or Boys Town in Chicago or West Hollywood or anywhere you want to look, Lavender Heights in Sacramento, wherever you look where there's a defined gay neighborhood, it's not just a place where there's bars, though bar life has always been an important part of our culture. It's where very important things happen. First is political power. When we are concentrated in specific precincts, that gives us the power to elect our own to public office, the power to defeat our opponents, the power to pass legislation that directly affects our lives and our well-being. As we are dispersed, we lose that power. Another super important part of it was the cultural vitality. Look at all the amazing stuff that's come out of West Hollywood, that's come out of my neighborhood. I mean, it's no coincidence that the rainbow flag and the first gay synagogue and the first gay film festival and the AIDS Memorial Quilt and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence all were born in the Castro, because there's that magic that happens when creative people, when choreographers and filmmakers and dancers and DJs and painters are all in that same area. And I know that collaboration can occur very effectively online, but there's nothing like the magic of face-to-face, eye contact, close proximity for that cultural vitality. And then the third thing that's at risk are the specialized social services for our most vulnerable population. So whether we're talking about people like myself who are getting old, long-term survivors of HIV, or queer kids, trans kids who are fleeing Trump's America, where did they go? They can't come to the Castro. A little crappy studio apartment in the Castro is going to cost you $2,500 a month. So this is the reality that nobody's really quite talking about, is that that community that has given us so much and strengthened us and inspired us and moved us forward is really being threatened. And there's many factors, technology. Many people will say, oh, well, we can live anywhere we want. No, you can't. Ha! Don't tell me that. Try it. You know, go to Duluth and walk down Main Street and hold hands. No offense to Duluth or any other city you might want to try doing that outside of a gayborhood. So we need these spaces. They're important, and we need to figure out what's our next move.
Big thanks to Clee Jones for this, and a big thanks to all of you listening who are about to go and leave iTunes comments. Again, that's such a big way to help our show to continue to grow, so thank you for those. And tweeting at me is the easiest way to recommend guests if you'd like to do that. I tweet from @JeffMasters1. We'll be back next week with an interview with Zeke Thomas. See you then.